And now we come to the 12 books that people call the minor prophets, Hosea through Malachi, 12 great books. They're not minor in the sense of being less inspired. Their power is dynamic. These 12 books are often referred to as the minor prophets, but only in size and length of their book could they ever be called that, when contrasted with Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel. We've learned many wonderful lessons in the past few years from these prophets, and I believe the following are perhaps the most important and practical. Number one, the prophets taught the mercy of God, and yet His justice. Two, they taught the terrible nature of sin. In the third place, they give evidence of the power of plain preaching. In the fourth place, the prophets told of the power of a penitent heart and the danger of hardening one's heart toward God. In Zechariah 7, for instance, God said, "Your heart is like an adamant stone. I called unto you, and you wouldn't hear me. Now you call unto me, and I won't hear you." In the fifth place, if the prophets teach anything at all, they teach the overruling providence of God. And last of all, they teach on every page and every line, you reap what you sow. Hosea 8:7, they've sown to the wind, they'll reap the whirlwind. Let us just briefly review these 12 books. Hosea in 14 chapters tells us that Israel is pictured as God's adulterous bride. Terrible idolatry is denounced. In the 3-chapter book of Joel, the first prophet to Judah, he foretold the day of Pentecost. Read Joel 2:28, and then Peter in Acts 2 says, "This is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel." I'm often amazed at preachers who will quote Joel 2:28 as though it has never yet been fulfilled, when 1,900 years ago Peter quoted it on the day of Pentecost and said, "This is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel." And then in 9 chapters, the vibrant, fervent, great preacher Amos tells men to prepare to meet God in judgment. During an ungodly ruler's reign, Jeroboam II, he warned of those who were at ease in Zion, Amos 6, verse 1. In the only 1-chapter book of the Old Testament, the book of Obadiah, we read of the overthrow of Edom, Esau's descendants. I call the book of Obadiah the high price of a bowl of soup, for it all began when Esau sold his birthright for a bowl of soup. What a tragedy that people are so profane, so secular, so carnal, so shallow, that they would surrender spiritual blessings for temporary benefits in the physical realm. The book of Jonah is quaint in its 4 chapters with 48 verses, and you could read it in about 5 or 6 minutes out loud, because it tells of the work of a prophet and a reluctant prophet. You know one reason I know the Bible is inspired of God? Because it doesn't cater to human curiosity, and it doesn't whitewash the sins of its heroes. Jonah was a prophet of God, but a poor one, a reluctant one. And in this book, we read of his action, not of what he taught, and how he preached finally, reluctantly, to the capital city of Assyria, Nineveh, and how Nineveh repented and Jonah relented. What a shame. The book of Micah, I'd have to say, is one of the sweet books of the prophets. That's just the only way to describe that 7-chapter book, maybe the most outstanding book of the prophets, for he foretold the birthplace of the Messiah in Bethlehem, Micah 5, and in God's controversy with his people, he plays the part of the advocate. And in chapter 6, verse 8 of Micah, he has showed the old man what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. That's perhaps the grandest verse in these 12 books.